We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE this morning. We want to welcome you to another great week of broadcasting the Word of God here on 91.5 FM. You are going to find some phenomenal teachers of the Word of God. Charles Stanley, I believe, precedes me. Adrian Rogers comes on after me. You got some great local programs that teach the Word of God, preach the Word of God, and so we are thankful for the ministry of WMIE right here on 91.5. If you're listening at 10:30 of a morning, you might be listening on a 1510 AM or one of the corresponding frequencies. So thank you for making the Refresh radio program part of your spiritual meal plan. And we want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. If you need someone to come out and take a look at your unit and make sure that it's working properly, or if it is not working properly and you don't need somebody to tell you that, the sweat on your brow tells you that it's not working properly, you can give them a call, 321-759-3284. They'll come out. They will take a look at your unit, get it up and working. They will treat you fairly and honestly. They're not one of those organizations that's just going to try and upsell you to try and upsell you. They are there to take care of the problems and do it in a fair and reasonable manner. And they deal with these sorts of issues, air conditioning issues, climate control issues, on a regular basis. 321-759-3284. Give them a call. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that will be appreciated. Tonight is the Women of Worth meeting at our church in our fellowship hall. Food starts at 6:30. Word starts at 7, and they're going to have a great time, and we're just thankful for everything that God did during our Mother's Day event. And I am going to be traveling to a conference today, as a matter of fact, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I will be traveling to a conference and looking forward to spending some time with God and allowing Him to pour into me, and spending some time with some great men of God as well. So if you would be praying for us, that would be greatly appreciated. We do need all of the prayer that we can get. We serve a great, big, mighty God. And, you know, sometimes when you're on the verge of breakthrough, the enemy fights pretty hard. And so there are some challenges that that we are dealing with, not on a church basis, but personal and physical situations that we deal with on a regular basis. We've seen some tremendous victories over the past few weeks with some people in our congregation, and are looking forward to even greater testimonies in the days ahead. So we will be sharing some of those great reports as they come in. But today we want to take you to the Word of God, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to be reading verse number 1. We're going to be talking about the Beatitudes here for several days. None of this has gotten us to the verse that God originally brought to my attention, which led us to Matthew chapter 3. We went to our men's conference, and they were talking about Matthew chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 4. And, I was like, guys, this is going to sound very familiar when you listen to it on the radio station, but I want you to know it's already been in the works before the men's conference. So I like it when God confirms what He says. It's not just established in the mouth of one witness. It's established in the mouth of multiple witnesses. So in Matthew chapter 4, it ends in beginning in verse number 24. It said, Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Chapter 5 begins what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it says this, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So there's a couple of different things that I want to point out to begin with here. In verse number 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." I think what God wants us to know is that it is his goodwill and good pleasure to bestow upon his children the kingdom of God. Now, my definition of the kingdom of God is quite simple. It is wherever the king is. Wherever the king is. It is the king's presence. It is the extension of his domain, of his rule, of his authority that identifies the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And wherever that dominion exists, there is not anything that man can do that is going to be able to change the reality that it is the kingdom of heaven, that it's the kingdom of God. And so this is a teaching that Jesus begins to share with the disciples. He says, "What I am pronouncing over your life has a greater effect than whether or not you are persecuted because you are my kids." He said, "Yours is the kingdom of heaven." I would rather have the kingdom of heaven than the kingdoms of this world. Remember, that is something that Jesus was tempted with in Matthew chapter 4. Satan said, "If you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and their glory." And Jesus turned his request down flat because he knew that the kingdom of heaven was greater than the kingdoms of this world, and he knew that the glory of the kingdom of heaven was greater than the glory of all the accumulated kingdoms of this world. And he knew that God could bestow those things and that Satan could not. So Jesus begins to teach, and remember, every time that Jesus teaches, he teaches as one who has authority, as someone who has a firm grasp on the subject matter, is not grasping for straws, is not straining for a truth here. And the first thing that he begins to teach these people who are in an oppressive reality at that time is he starts teaching them about blessing. And so I want to talk to you about this particular word, blessed, today. It is a word that means supremely blessed. blessed by a supreme being, blessed by God Most High. And I want you to know that when God says you are blessed, you are blessed. It is another attribute of this particular word means fortunate. Now, that's not a word we use very frequently in modern times. We are much more familiar with the negative application of this. Unfortunate is the negative application of what Jesus is pronouncing upon these that he is teaching at that time. And so it goes off. It goes on and describes another way of describing this word is well off. And that is quite impressive as well. Another application is happy. Happy. And I want to remind you that the scripture says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You and I, our happiness is not based upon our circumstances, that the things that happen around us, they are because of a pronouncement by Jesus. Okay? Let me make a declaration and see if this has some sort of bearing on you. I now pronounce you man and wife. When you think of that, there is normally great joy, great tears, realizing that there is a whole new adventure on the horizon. This word blessed is in the nominative case, and that's another word that means named. Okay? So Jesus is declaring, he says, I want to identify you as supremely blessed, as extremely fortunate, as well off, and filled with joy and happiness in your life. I think that is, when Jesus makes that declaration in my life and in your life, that we ought to take that as something that has a great deal of credibility. So I want to begin to challenge you today to identify your reality by what Jesus pronounces over your life, more so than what your circumstances around you might identify. Now, listen, in biblical times, whenever one country was under dominion of another government, it was an oppressive situation. It was a taxing situation. The Israel that Jesus came to at this point in time was not abounding and thriving economically. They were poor, they were oppressed, they were legislated by not their religious law, not the law of God, but by Roman decree. And you will see, you know, the Roman government asserts its power at its crucifixion. It was not a great place to be. And Jesus begins to teach him at the very early stages of his public ministry. And he starts by saying this, I want you all to know that there is a path to blessing that the government of Rome cannot withhold from you. Do you realize that there is no one that has the power to prevent you from being blessed of the Lord? What was it that the angel decreed to Mary? You are blessed and highly favored. There are people that I know, how are you today? I am blessed and highly favored. I am supremely blessed. I am fortunate. Now, whenever I see that word fortunate, I think of all the way back to Leah, who named one of her kids Gad, which meant fortunate. How fortunate I am. And that was a radical transformation for Leah, because she used to be fixated on all of the things that she didn't have in her life, on all of the unfortunate and miserable things that happened. But there came a point in Leah's time where she began to praise the Lord in spite of her circumstances. And then Leah changed before her circumstances did. And so she actually named this one son Gad. And she said, "How fortunate I am." Wouldn't you like to go around with the declaration that you were a fortunate person? That everywhere you went, people said, well, what makes you so special? Another child she named Asher, which meant happy. And wouldn't you like to go around like that? You know, and her father-in-law's name was Isaac, which meant laughter. I don't know about you, but those are some pretty descriptive things. There are some people now that, and they name kids things that they sound good. They might make them feel good. The more unusual the name is, the more it stands out to some people and things like that. But Jesus says, I want you to know that there's a pronouncement that I want to make over people that has nothing to do with the circumstances. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to see what this doesn't say. It doesn't say that you are blessed when you are financially poor. There are some people who think that that is a notable attribute. That is not the reality at all. This word poor, it describes a positional thing. It is a person who is crouched over, who is a beggar, who is a pauper. It is, you know, that they have taken the position that there is nothing that they can do about this one particular situation. They are looking for an external input to a very personal need. And Jesus says that this is not a financial situation, it's a spiritual situation. The word there, it talks about the Spirit of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We are created body, soul, and spirit. In order for our spirit to be enriched, we have to realize that we need a deposit from the throne room of heaven. And when that spiritual download has taken place, it changes our reality. If you are in a spiritual bankrupt condition today, I need you to realize that there is a person that you can cry out to who can change your spiritual balance sheet in a dramatic way. I didn't take time to read the article here a week or so ago, but it talked, the headline was kind of captivating. It talked about a man who a few years ago was on food stamps, who now is a multimillionaire. Now, I didn't look to see what had happened that created such a drastic transition in his bank account. But I can tell you that in my wife and I's marriage, there have been times where we weren't making it financially. There were times where when we had kids that we were in that situation where we were below the poverty line. Just doing everything that we could to meet all of our obligations. Now, I want you to understand, we have three marvelous kids. We're no longer in the same condition that we were before. And so a person who realizes that they are bankrupt spiritually, they take a position for someone who can change their reality, that they know that there is a person who can meet the spiritual need that they have in their life. And I want you to know that the only person that can do that is Jesus. And today, if we will humble ourselves and we will say, God, there's not a self-help class that I can take. God, there's not anybody who can fulfill the spiritual need that I have in my life. There's not a man, not a woman on this planet who can change the spiritual condition of my life. He says, but when you cry out to God and you say, God, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you be the Lord of my life? Would you come and would you change me from being dead in my trespasses and sin to being alive in Jesus Christ? All of a sudden, you are no longer spiritually bankrupt. You are a spiritual powerhouse. You are brought into the kingdom of heaven. It says, if you and I, if we will cry out to God and say, God, would you be my very present spiritual abundance? It says, theirs is. That is a present condition. It is your present reality as you are in the kingdom of heaven. Your present reality with Jesus as your Lord and Savior is your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the God who is going to take care of you for all of eternity is able to take care of you in your here and now. That word for kingdom is the word basileia. It means royalty. It means the realm. It means kingdom. Heaven is being described here as the abode of God, the house of God. And as a result, it is a place of happiness. It is a place of power. It is a place of authority. It is a place of eternity, and it is specifically a place where the gospel of Jesus Christ has effect. It is the law of God, the law of his love. It is the law of his good news that has the supreme authority in our life. The word of God that is settled forever in heaven and on earth, not one jot, not one tittle, is ever going to pass away. And so today, just as Jesus did, I want to let you know that the path to blessing always begins with realizing, apart from Jesus Christ, we are spiritually and morally bankrupt. Jesus is the only hope for America. Jesus is the only hope for Canada. Jesus is the only hope for Mexico and Guatemala and Honduras and Costa Rica and Belize and El Salvador, Nicaragua and South America and Russia and Great Britain. The continent of Africa, the entire continent of Europe and of Asia, and all of the islands of the seas. God is the only hope. Jesus is the only hope in the past, and he is the only hope now. The reality is, apart from him, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl is spiritually bankrupt. But when we say yes to Jesus, he gives us the right to become the children of God. Children of God are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Children of God are literally spiritual princes and princesses. You are royalty. Not because of anything special. You realize that in the British monarchy that there is nothing particularly special about, let's say, Prince Charles. Nothing particularly special about him. He just happens to be a child of the Queen, the eldest child of the Queen. And as a result of that, you know, he's in line for the throne. And I don't think he gets up of a morning and says, you know, this is just a completely and totally unfair situation. I think he gets up every day and he looks around and he says, you know what? Because of my birth, I'm in an extremely fortunate situation. People know who I am because of my genealogical heritage. Do you know that when the seven sons of Sceva tried to apply the teachings of Paul and watch a demon get cast out, when they encountered that demon, there is a very interesting statement that the demon makes. Let me just get over there just a second, see if I can find the exact passage right now. It's in Acts chapter 19, and it says in verse number 14, also there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And what they had declared was, we exorcise you, we cast you out by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. That's what they had declared. And get this, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. Okay? I know Jesus, the Son of God. I know him. But get this, and Paul I know. Do you realize that as children of the Most High God, that the devil recognizes the spiritual authority that has been bestowed upon you and I as joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Listen, I am so thankful that the scripture talks about the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I'm thankful for decrees from the throne room. It says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But who are you? Do you realize that you don't even show up on hell's radar until you become a child of the living God? When you are dead in your trespasses and sin, the devil looks at you and he doesn't even think much about you unless he recognizes that God has a destiny and a purpose in your life. And then he says, we'd better do everything we can to stop that from happening. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an